on this episode of Rev Hang.
I've been daydreaming about it ever since I found out about it. I honestly can't picture my life without this truck.
It was Colton J. Herta. I don't know what his middle name is. Nico Hulkenberg retired after the formation lap. His car just couldn't do it.
Or were you wishing there was more?
I know where you're taking me, Ben, and I don't appreciate what you're doing to me right now.
We're both technically Zimmers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben. How are you doing, Ben?
Just thinking about a cool truck.
Thinking about a cool truck. We've been talking about a cool truck for a while now, and we will
get to
that.
I've been daydreaming about this thing since I found out that it existed 24 hours ago.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to talk about that truck at the end of the episode, for sure. But this is not a... Well, this could become a Craigslist Finds podcast.
Not yet.
Ben's going to do everything in his power to make sure it becomes a Craigslist Finds podcast. But right now, it is a racing podcast. So let's dive right in with some paddock news first. First on the docket here, Will Power was actually dropped by Penske. It actually happened, Ben.
Yeah.
Actually happened. So he is no longer a Penske driver. He was pretty much immediately hired by Andretti. And, of course, that means that one of the Andretti drivers...
Who could it have been? Was it Ericsson, who's been underperforming all the past two seasons he's been with Andretti?
Of course not.
No.
It was Colton J. Herta. I don't know what his middle name is. It was Colton Herta, who has now left Andretti for greener pastures, namely Formula One pastures.
Greener pastures.
He's now a Cadillac test, and I assume reserve. Well, he can't be a reserve driver without a super license, so he's a test driver for now. He just needs 6 more super license points to become eligible for a super license, which, after looking at the rules last week, is not going to be very difficult for him to achieve.
He wouldn't even have to go into F2 to do it.
No.
Does that mean he's not going into F2?
I don't know. We don't know. He might go into F2 still.
He currently seems obsessed with trolling people on the internet when they ask him about it.
Yeah. Colton Herta does seem like a memer, if anything. So, we don't know what the future holds for Colton Herta, but it does seem to be in Europe. And we will definitely keep you updated as news comes out on that. Speaking of Europe, the Monaco Grand Prix has been extended to 2035. So we get 10 more years
in
Monaco.
On the date also?
I think so. Oh, I don't know. I didn't read about the date.
10 more years of it not being during the Indy 500. I don't know
about the date. I'm sure they can change the date. But it is on the calendar for the next 10 years, which has people split in opinions. A lot of people don't like Monaco anymore.
It's like the anti-Spa. There's... I feel like it's the same number of people who wonder if Spa should still be on the F1 calendar, but for different reasons.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, that is the paddock news for this week. Let's move right into the Italian Grand Prix. Feels weird that IndyCar's done.
I know.
All right, we're just going straight into Formula 1.
Already.
We're at that point in the season. So, qualifying top 10 to give you some context. We had Max Verstappen on pole position for the first time in a while, I think.
Yeah, fastest average speed for a qualifying. For a lap in F1 ever?
Probably at Monza.
Fastest average speed.
Oh, you mean for a race?
For qualifying. He said it during qualifying.
For qualifying?
I'm pretty sure he
It must have been a Monza lap record. I think it was a Monza lap record. Yeah, because, like...
Maybe.
Austria's, like, 1:04 per lap.
Fastest average speed, though.
Oh, average speed? Oh, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
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 I thought you meant
time-wise. Monza was recently repaved. So.
So top speed. Okay, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. And it would happen at Italy, if anywhere. So, Max Verstappen on pole, followed by Lando Norris in P2 and Oscar Piastri in P3. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Hamilton. Sixth through 10 were Russell, Antonelli, Bortoleto, Alonso, and Tsunoda. 11 through 15 were Behrman, Hulkenberg, Sainz, Albon, and Ocon. I know I said top 10, but at this point we're going to roll with it. 16 through 20 were Hajar, Stroll, Colapinto, and Gasly, and Lawson. Lewis Hamilton qualified 5th, but started probably, 8th or something? I think he had a 3-place grid penalty.
I wasn't even paying attention.
It was 3 or 5. It was probably 3. 3-place grid penalty for the hamster. Moving into the race, Nico Hülkenberg retired after the formation lap. His car just couldn't do it.
The space after Nico Hülkenberg retired after the formation lap.
Yep, car just broke down. So that was it for Hülkenberg for that day. Max Verstappen maintained the lead from Lando Norris into turn one, but went off track to do it. So he had to hand that place back on the next lap on lap two. Piastri passed Leclerc for P3 at turn six on lap one. Leclerc got past Piastri into turn three on lap two. Verstappen then passed Norris for the lead on lap four into turn one. And then Piastri passed Leclerc again for P3 on lap six. A lot of movement at the front at the beginning of the race, and that was about it.
Yep.
On lap 25, Fernando Alonso had a suspension failure, ending his race, and everybody was hoping for a safety car. That did not happen.
None appeared.
Alonso just slowly crawled his way back to the pits. On lap 41, Sainz and Behrman collided, and both cars spun out into turn four, but were able to keep going. Everyone was praying for a safety car, and it did not happen.
Did not happen. We got more Sainz radio gold, though.
Yep. It's becoming a tradition at this point.
Man is angry.
Both McLarens went long on strategy. Piastri pit on lap 46, and Norris a lap later on lap 47. Norris's pit stop was really long. He had problems with the front left wheel, I believe, and that allowed Piastri to pass him. And this, of course, was after Lando was like, hey, why don't you let Oscar pit first, as long as you promise to not let him pass me? And McLaren was like, yeah, got you, man.
Sure thing, buddy.
Sure thing. And then, of course, that happened. So McLaren then, of course, had to inject controversy.
Papaya rules are back, baby.
McLaren swapped the cars two laps later after promising Lando that would Oscar would not undercut him. And so the race ended with Max Verstappen as the winner by a solid margin, 19.2 seconds. Back to the Verstappen of old.
We're so back.
Turns out if you just make a track with, like, no turns, Max is still
the best.
The
Red Bull car does great as long as you don't ask it to turn.
Yep. Lando Norris was in second. Oscar Piastri was in third. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Russell. Sixth through 10 were Hamilton, Albon, Bortoleto, Antonelli, and Hadjar. 11th through 15 were Sainz, Behrman, Tsunoda, Lawson, and Ocon. 16 through 18, rounding off the finishers, were Gasly, Colapinto, and Stroll. Always Stroll in last place, man. And our two retirements were Alonso and Hülkenberg.
Yeah, disappointing, because Bortoleto did really well, and I feel like the Sauber cars have been getting better throughout the season, so it's actually disappointing when one falls out of contention, because they're actually missing out on points.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. They have been getting better. Bortoleto especially.
Catching the Racing Bulls.
Yeah. Max Verstappen is back, baby. He's back for this race.
The probably happiest not, man alive.
Probably not for much longer for the rest of the season, although the next race is another track with long, long straights.
Yep.
So, Max Verstappen had just a Verstappen-esque race this week, and it was kind of nice to see someone challenge the McLarens for once.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. His demeanor is so different when he's leading.
Yeah,
like that.
He's so calm.
He's so calm. He's like joking with GP and like just seems like a happy guy. Whereas the rest of the season, he's just been mad,
so angry. Yes,
he's just hated his car
or just apathetic. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Whatever. McLaren, of course, had to do McLaren things and just try to avoid controversy and in the process create so much more. So, yeah, they basically just rinse and repeated Hungary from last year.
Yeah.
It wasn't for a win, thank goodness, like Hungary was. But this does have massive championship – well, maybe not massive, but this does have championship implications if, you know, Oscar is still this close on points at the end of the season. It's gonna people are going to look at this and be like, well, they swapped the cars, and that was the difference.
Yeah, and I don't know, because I understand, like, telling Lando that you aren't going to let Piastri undercut him, but at the same time, like, I don't know, that's tough.
Yeah.
Because it was just a slow pit stop, and that happens.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Do you have a different feeling about it?
I understand why it was controversial, but I honestly would have done the same thing in McLaren's shoes there, I think. I don't know. This could be just because I've been such a Lando Norris fan for so long, I might be biased. I love Oscar. I'm an Oscar fan too, but I think Lando's been waiting for this longer, and I have no doubt in my mind that Piastri's going to win championships.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with McLaren or another team down the stretch, because we don't know what's going to happen in 2026. Oscar's just so good. I just don't see him not winning a championship at some point in his career. Whereas Lando, with his history of not doing so well under pressure, I feel like this might be his best shot. So I do kind of want Lando to win this championship. I won't be upset if Oscar does. But I think they made the right call. I mean, you could call it payback for Hungary last year. But again, they kind of put themselves in a tough spot when they're like, yes, Lando, we promise that Oscar will not get past you. And then this happens, and it's just like,
Yeah.
So Oscar was upset, understandably. He had every right to be. He made his point clear on the radio, and then to his credit, he followed the team orders and let Lando through, and did kind of fight him at the end there a little bit, but Norris was, I think, just the faster car that day anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't that upset about it. I know a lot of people are. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
That's fair. It is a sports race.
It is a sports car event race, yes.
It is for entertainment.
Yep. What I was upset about.
Oh, okay.
Ollie Bearman got a penalty for that collision.
My poor man. The Ocon curse is passing to him.
It really is, even though Ocon got a penalty for the exact same thing in this race.
Except he only got a 5-second penalty.
Yep, this is true. Mm-hmm, yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because it was a lap 2 incident. This was lap something, 40-something, I think. Yeah, once again, the stewards just, what in the world? It was Sainz last week, and it notably wasn't Sainz this week when it should have been.
Payback.
Yeah, again, I think it was a racing incident, but no, they had to penalize somebody, so they gave it to Bearman, even though he did literally nothing wrong.
Yeah.
He was pretty much fully alongside Sainz, and Sainz decides he's going to turn. And if Bearman's there, then Bearman's there. They both spun out, and since Sainz's front wheels were ahead, he owned the corner. And yep. I just hate the way that they're calling these now, where whoever's wheels are in front has every right to the corner and doesn't need to leave space, and anybody else who's there, it's their fault what happens. It's ridiculous. It's racing. You have to leave space if there's a car next to you. Otherwise, it's just going to be passes on the straights, because why would you want to pass in a corner?
The late braking
unless
dives.
You're absolutely going to send it, and then you're going to cause an accident, but the other person's going to get the penalty.
The Red Bull special.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the way they're ruling on these at all. We need a new FIA president right now. it's
surely
getting worse.
That will happen.
It's getting worse. No, I don't know what's going to happen, but
yeah. I remember when all these the changes to the way they do the penalties and all that changed, and people were like, "Oh, yeah, it's going to fix everything," and then nothing actually changed.
No, or it changed for briefly and then it went back to the way it was. It's like, it's changing constantly, and that's why people are upset. It's like, why don't you just stick with something?
Mm-hmm.
But don't stick with this, because this is completely horrible. All right. This
they
was also
have like a voting meter where like you go on, and it's like a live poll.
Let's make like this a, Formula
like a,
E, Ben.
Like a Twitch poll. Where you get the entire crowd who's watching gets to decide what the penalty is.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea. But
easy.
But
I've solved it.
I think it'd be entertaining. We're going to turn this into Formula E. That'll fix Formula One. All right. This is also the shortest race in F1 history, time-wise, at an hour and 13 minutes and 24 seconds. A minute shorter, almost, than the previous shortest, which was achieved by Michael Schumacher in 2004, I think they said. Also the Italian Grand Prix.
Huh. I mean, it is a fast track.
Mm-hmm. And the Ferrari F2004 was an insanely fast car.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Max Verstappen now holds that record just because he needed another record. And Ben, you added something else on the end of this here.
Yes,
what do you got
I have
me?
Heard discussion online, mm-hmm. you know, in circles. That go to schools you wouldn't know.
Yep.
What did you think about how this race length was? Did you notice an appreciable difference?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like a very short race.
Did you like that? Or were you wishing there was more?
I know where you're taking me, Ben, and I don't appreciate what you're doing to me right now.
We're both technically Zoomers. We can be honest with each other.
Can we be honest with each other on the internet?
I've known to partake in an Instagram reel or two.
Yeah. Did I enjoy that it was shorter?
Did you feel... And then I guess I have a follow-up question or an additional modifier to that. Did you feel that you had a greater attention to this race, given it was shorter?
The answer to that is no.
No? Okay.
I don't think the problem... Because let me just read what you have written out here.
Yes, yep.
To explain the context of where this is coming from. Do you think F1 races need to be shorter? It's been brought up by people. Source, trust me, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was revealed to me on my walk.
Yes. I enjoyed that the race was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the only reason I did... was because this was the most boring race of the season so far.
You thought this was the most boring race of the season?
I thought this was up there.
Did you watch Suzuka?
This was up there.
Did you think this was more boring than Suzuka?
Listen, I forgot about Suzuka. That's how boring Suzuka was. This was not a great race.
Yeah. The only thing that made it great was the controversies.
Yes.
And Max Verstappen being in the lead, which was fun to watch at the beginning and fun to watch at the end.
The end of the race was entertaining. The beginning of the race was entertaining. The middle was not.
It is the Rogue One. Controversial statement, but this was the Rogue One of races.
It was the Rogue One of races.
I love Rogue One, but it fools you into thinking it's a much more exciting movie than it is because of the way that it starts and the way that the final act finishes. Everything in between that, I don't actually remember what happens.
That's fair. Yeah.
But I do remember really liking the movie and thinking it's more exciting than it is.
Yep.
The Monza race 2025.
Getting back to the point you're making here.
Also lots of controversy.
I understand where they're coming from with the attention spans because they have a younger audience now, a more American audience. Our attention spans are shorter. Do not edit your sport to cater to the gnat-like attention spans of American Zoomers. My God. They should absolutely not shorten F1 races. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
That's a good definitive answer. I like that.
No, absolutely not. An hour and a half is fine. IndyCar races are longer than F1 races.
This is true. That being said, I don't watch as many IndyCar races all the way through as I do F1 races.
I watch them all the way through, and I am more entertained when I watch IndyCar races. And I have an easier time paying attention to IndyCar races.
Yeah.
This is a problem with F1 as a sport, not the length of the races. And they're talking about with making F1 races shorter at making every weekend a sprint weekend? Absolutely not. No one likes to sprint. I don't care. I don't care if they get ratings. It doesn't mean people like them. It means people have to watch them to get the whole season. That's... Oh, you're getting me on a rant train here, Ben. F1 races do not need to be shorter. An hour and a half is fine. Most of them are about that long. I'd say on average, they're an hour and a half, unless there's rain. And you can't tell me that a 2.5 hour rain race is not as exciting as an hour and a half long dry race. Most of the time. Unless we're talking Spa 2021.
Or Spa 2020, yeah. Or spa races in general.
Suzuka wasn't that long, though. Usually, if we're getting red flags and changing conditions, that's when the races get exciting. We're talking like, you remember Silverstone this year? That was a great race. You don't remember Silverstone. But Silverstone was the best race of the season. That was the one where Hülkenberg ended up on the podium because everybody crashed all the time.
Actually, yes, I do.
Yes.
That was great. Yep. You know, my main problem with Silverstone race is I always remember the 2024 Silverstone race. And I'll always remember the 2024 Silverstone race.
It was
a
good one.
I don't think I'll remember another Silverstone race because of that.
Yeah. I remember the second one in 2020 when Hamilton finished on three wheels. That was another good one. Because wheels were exploding, or tires were exploding all over the place. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to the championship standings. We'll just talk about first and second, because nothing else matters. Oscar Piastri has 324. Lando Norris has 293. That is a separation of... Math. 31.
Yep.
31 points. Good job, Ben. I was testing you. Yeah. In the constructors, McLaren has 617 and Ferrari in second place has 280. McLaren can mathematically win the championship next week in Azerbaijan with a 1-2. Probably not even that.
Yeah.
But if they get a 1-2, which is likely.
At the top of their game.
Yeah.
It is right behind them, which,
well. Yeah, we'll see. So McLaren will most likely win the championship next week, and that's kind of crazy. Because there's still, like, 8 or 9 races left this year.
God, there's so many races left this year. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, what do we got? Azerbaijan.
Does IndyCar need more races, or does F1 need less? Or both?
Yes. IndyCar does need more races. I talked about that a little last week, I think.
Yeah, you did. It just made me think about it even more.
I'm going to revhang.com to check the season calendar, which you can do too, which I haven't updated the landing page in a while.
Look at that clean interface, though. Look at all those easily accessible links.
Yes. The homepage...
The GUI is incredible.
The homepage is not updated as frequently as the spreadsheets are, but the spreadsheets are all you really need. So we got Azerbaijan... Singapore, U.S., Mexico, Brazil, Vegas, Qatar, and not Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi. That's 8 races. 8 races left this year.
That's crazy. IndyCar really does need a Mexico race.
I think they're talking about it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and same track, which I think will be a good IndyCar track,
too.
That'd
be cool. It'd be cool, dude. Because we don't have any overlap. Right now, do we? We don't have any overlap between F1 and IndyCar tracks right now, do we?
No. Because no,
they don't
we don't
race at COTA.
They used to race at COTA, but they don't. They haven't in a few
years.
Why don't
they race at COTA anymore?
I don't know, but they haven't in a few years. I just remembered that. I think it was our first season doing this, where they raced at COTA. What? And the track limits became a big controversy because you could see them going so wide off the track at like the second to last
IndyCar
corner.
Has the opposite of the rules from F1.
Yeah, like whatever you want to do, man. That might be one of the reasons they stopped racing at COTA. NASCAR did the same thing. NASCAR still races at COTA, though, I believe. IndyCar should go back to COTA. That's what we're saying.
That'd be sick. IndyCar should go back to COTA, and they should go to Mexico City.
Yeah. Agreed.
Imagine a Texas... doubleheader month.
Yeah,
that'd be sick. They go back
followed
to Texas,
by Mexico.
They go back to the Texas Oval, and then they go to Austin, and then they go to Mexico.
Yeah, and then they come up through they come up and do Long Beach, and then Laguna Seca, Sonoma. Add Sonoma in there,
and then Portland,
and then Portland,
and then back down to Milwaukee and Nashville.
We got to do the easy sustainability IndyCar. Get on top of it. Just make a big circle.
Hey, they're on renewable fuels by now.
They are, yes.
They're doing great.
All right, Pit Stop Championship. McLaren won this week with Oscar Piastri. The time of 1.91 seconds. A blistering pit stop pace. Followed by Leclerc, Hadjar, Hamilton, and Tsunoda. 6 through 10 were Verstappen, Lawson, Colapinto, Gasly, and Antonelli. Driver standings, nothing has changed, or at least nothing near the top. The midfield has a little bit. And then constructors, I think literally nothing has changed.
Nice.
Overtake of the week. I gave this one to Oscar Piastri for his overtake on Charles Leclerc on lap 1 at Monza around the outside of the first Lesmo.
That was pretty good.
Great pass. Honorable mention was Max Verstappen taking the lead back on lap 4. Another pass around the outside. Basically doing to Lando what he tried to do to Lewis Hamilton in 2020.
Wait, that was 2021, wasn't it?
2021, sorry, yeah. You're right, yeah.
But, yeah, I saw that, and I was like, a little bit close there.
He actually was, if there was a carbon copy of that, that would have been crazy.
That would have been so funny.
but, yes. All right. Let's go into predictions, if words can word.
Wow, we did not do very well this.
We did not. We didn't, no. Top five, to remind everybody, we had Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Russell. No, sorry. Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, and Russell were the top five. What did you have, Ben?
I had Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, Antonelli, and Lawson as my dark horse. Did not see the Verstappen 9-second lead coming a mile away.
I did not either. I had Norris, Piastri, Antonelli, Russell, and Verstappen in my top five with Sainz as a dark horse.
We both had Antonelli in our in our top fives.
Yeah, it did not pan out for him.
No.
Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What did you say?
I had Piastri.
I had Norris, so that was my sole point of the week. Driver of the day went to Max Verstappen. What did you say?
Same as you. We had Antonelli.
We both had Antonelli, so unfortunate. Alrighty, moving into the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, one of my favorite races of the year.
I actually really like it.
I like it even when it's boring, which I think says something. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good track.
I'll always remember it for tire punctures and Lewis Hamilton just driving straight through turn one.
Yeah, well, as we all will.
Yes. Two of my favorite moments in racing history.
Indeed, indeed. Max Verstappen kicking his car.
Yeah.
The tire punctures you mentioned.
Good year for tire punctures.
Of course, Verstappen taking out Ricardo. Or no, it was the other way around. Ricardo took out Verstappen.
Oh, yeah, because Ricardo was in McLaren at that point.
Nope.
Wait, what?
Both Red Bulls in 2018. Ricardo crashed into Verstappen.
Oh, I was thinking 2021 still.
Oh.
The kicking. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Remember when Ricardo was a race car driver?
No.
Did you see the news that he's officially retired?
I saw that he said that, and then I also saw that there was more news to come.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know, man. He might go to NASCAR.
Race truck driving.
There you
He's
go.
He's moving to NASCAR truck.
He's gonna buy that truck that you've been looking at.
No.
It's number three.
He's
in
He's stolen
already.
It for me.
Yeah.
Or from
it's
me.
Already got his number on it. All right. Moving into Azerbaijan. Give me your top five, Ben.
I've got Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Antonelli. Why not? And Hadjar is my dark horse.
Okay. I've got Verstappen winning, followed by Piastri, wow. Norris, Russell, and Hamilton, with Alonso as my dark horse.
That's crazy.
I'm only giving it to Verstappen because more straights.
Yep.
Lots of long True. Straights. Not a lot of fast sweeping corners, which is where McLaren is very good. So, once again, I think if there is a race that Verstappen can win, it's this one. Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Norris for this one.
I have Verstappen, driver of the day.
Charles Leclerc.
I've got Lewis Hamilton.
Couple Ferrari boys.
Don't ask me why. Yeah.
If they make it into the top five, they're getting driver of the day. Easy.
Easy win. All right. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for
Indeed,
us this
I
week?
I do, as we're moving into fall. Unfortunately, it's true. It's time to face it. We are moving into fall.
Yes. We are not backlit like crazy lovely evening.
It's so nice. You're welcome, editor. We planned that. It's time to remember to separate your waterproofs and water resistance from your regulars in a wash. And it's so worth it to get one of those. You don't have to get like the super chemical-y stuff, but they make like nice all-natural waterproof stuff or waterproof detergent that you can add in. It doesn't destroy waterproofing, and it's so worth it to go into the rainy season and just put all your waterproofs and water resistance through the wash again, because you haven't used them for a while probably, unless you live in like, what's the place where it rains a lot during the summer? The Midwest.
Brazil.
If you live in Brazil, it's time to wash your clothes. Sorry,
we have listeners in Brazil, Ben.
Do we really?
I think it's like one person. Yeah. Oh,
sick. But yeah, just go ahead and give your waterproofs a wash, make sure to separate them, and it's super worth it.
Yes, indeed. Just throw some Zep in your washing machine.
There you go.
No, that was Ben that said that.
A little bit
me.
Of silicon caulk.
Yes,
it'll distribute nice and evenly.
There we go. Oil and water mix, remember that, kids. All right, Ben, you've been itching all week for this one, especially
we need to put up a picture.
If you send me a picture,
I'll send you a picture.
I will put it in this segment. Just send me a screenshot. Actually, just send me the link to the thing again. I don't know if I saved it or not.
I'll send you the link. It is so cool. It is a 1999 Chevy S10, barely. It is essentially race modified to be reminiscent of a NASCAR truck series truck. It's got Eliminator livery on it, like down to some of the sponsorships. And it is the coolest thing I've ever seen for $20,000 on Craigslist. It should be worth more, honestly. Freshly built, because it says it's only got 1,000 miles on the odometer. It's got a built Summit 400 V8. Brand new drive shaft. It's got an NV3500 5-speed manual. It's got, tubed upper control arms. It's got a fuel cell, so if you want to go racing, it has a fuel cell and a roll cage and a fire extinguisher in the cab. So, like, you're
it's race ready.
It's race ready for, like, SCCA series and all that, which is crazy to me. Other noticeable things, it's got a limited slip diff, full buckets with 5-point harnesses. What else am I missing?
Did you say detachable steering wheel already?
Oh, yeah. It's got the quick detached steering wheel, polycarbonate rear window, battery relocated to the bed with a cutoff switch, like an actual like integrated cutoff switch. And it's street legal.
Yep.
It is still street legal. However, you could take this thing to Grass Valley tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you have your comp license, you could be wheel-to-wheel racing that thing, which is insane.
Within a day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's $20,000, but that includes free shipping to the contiguous United States.
Yep.
And if you pick it up yourself in Sandy, Oregon, he'll take $1,000 off the price.
Don't do it, Ben. You can't afford it.
This is what IRAs are made for, right?
Yeah, this is where your retirement savings should go when you're 26 years old.
This is how I make it big. This is how I get into racing.
There you go.
But yeah, this is generally something I was so excited to see, and I've been daydreaming about it ever since I found out about it. I honestly can't picture my life without this truck. I have a hard time not thinking about like owning this truck, and it's really dangerous. And I pity my poor wife who has to listen to me talk about this truck for the next week until somebody inevitably buys it.
Yeah, because it's a steal.
Yeah, it is genuinely, in my opinion, as somebody who went to college and built race cars in college, this is genuinely like one of the best priced. Like, this is such a steal if you wanted to get into racing.
Like, you might
maybe
just...
it's a bit much to chew off for beginners. Like,
yeah,
if you haven't been in a race car driven spiritedly before, maybe a 400 cubic inch with a limited V8 slip rear in a truck with no weight over the rear end, maybe a bit much.
Maybe
not for me to make the decision for you, though.
Also, street legal in Oregon is easier to achieve than in most states.
Yeah,
so if
no
you cross
DEQ
the border
testing.
your emissions, I guarantee you,
register
you're not
that
pass.
Baby in Lane County, you're good to go.
Exactly. Alrighty. Well, that rounds off the episode for this week. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and or listening. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar, which is now over, or Formula One, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on DMs or on any socials, and we may feature your question in the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the Formula One Azerbaijan Grand Prix in Baku. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.